Good morning. You might like to take your Bibles and turn to James 5, and we'll be studying from there in just a moment. Thankful for our visitors. Glad that you are here. Hope that you'll stay just a little while so we can visit with you and welcome you to our assembly. And we're thankful for that good singing, Greg. I appreciate that very much. We're enjoying nice sunny weather. And might be a little on the toasty side, but we're not going to complain about it. We're not going to grumble. We're going to be thankful. And had an opportunity yesterday to spend some time with the men of the church. Went out and golfed some. And I think it was an educational experience for Anthony and for Brock Blair, because I think they heard me growl at different pitches. Like that. And I lost several golf balls. How many is none of your business. But anyway, it was all for a purpose, I think, is we need to learn the power of patience. Some of you have seen me play golf. We say, patience is not going to do you any good, Frank. But anyway, I think we would all say, seriously, in living a Christian life, we all need patience dealing with people and situations. James counsels patience to Christians who are suffering. Therefore, be patient, brethren. That's in view of verse 6, that they were being persecuted by the rich Jewish landowners. Until the coming of the Lord, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. In Palestine, they would plant their grains in the fall. They would get the fall rains. That's the early rain. The late rain would be the spring rain. Well, you have to wait for those rains to come. A farmer cannot put the seed in the ground and expect quick results. We live in a society, an instant society, of instant messaging and instant coffee and instant replays and instant breakfast, and we like things quick. James says that we have to learn patience. Heard one Japanese negotiator, I think he's a government negotiator, or might have been a business negotiator, but he was saying if you negotiate with Americans, all you have to do is just wait, and they're impatient, and they'll eventually give in. James says that, well, as a Christian, we need to learn patience. He says, be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And do not complain, brethren, against one another. And this is patience in dealing with brethren. So that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And I believe the context, when James was written to Jewish Christians, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And that would put aside a lot of this organized Jewish persecution they were facing. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, there's our word again, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. So obviously, James here is commending patience in facing trying situations. He uses two different words here to translate patience. The first word, hupomone, literally means to remain under. We would say, hang in there. Patient, continuance, cheerful endurance, perseverance. That's one word, hupomone. The other words is macrothumia. Macroeconomics, or the macro picture, is the idea of the large picture. Thumos is your emotions. And he's saying be long-tempered, not short-tempered. Long-suffering, forbearing others patiently. So you combine the two ideas, he's saying, hang in there, persevere, don't give up. And while you're hanging in there, don't blow an emotional gasket in dealing with difficult people. The power of patience comes from learning to wait on the Lord. And this is in the book of James we're going to look at. Be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. He who has patience will have what he wills with the Lord's strength. By patience, the snail eventually reached the ark. By patience, the drops of water in the river will wear away a rock. So, In patience you shall gain your souls. Luke 21, verse 19. There's no substitute for patience. Patient perseverance perseveres under hard circumstances. James chapter 5, verse 7 that we just read, he says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, because they were being unfairly treated by these rich landowners that did not pay their wages. If you look in the book of James, it says the rich people were blaspheming the fair name of the word Christian that they were called by. So they were having to deal with difficult circumstances. They may have had problems with their job. If they were Jews that were converted, they would be ostracized. It would be difficult for them to get a living, to support themselves. They had to deal with difficult circumstances. Well, the Bible says that in difficult circumstances, we are not a victim. But through Christ, we are a victor. And James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, I want you to read that with me, please, has a great attitude adjustment when we face difficult circumstances to help us to have patience. James chapter 1, verse 1, he writes to Jewish Christians who have been scattered. And the word there, scattered, gives the idea of scattered by persecution. Like in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, they were scattered in that persecution. So, you're now like a refugee. You've been by persecution, you've been scattered. You've left your home. You're living in a tent somewhere. You may be living in a cave. You may be living in someone else's home. How are we to respond? The word responsible comes from the idea of response. I choose my response. Verse 2, James says, consider or reckon it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. All sorts of different trials that test your faith. Now notice he did not say, consider it a mixed blessing. Well, there's some negatives and there's some positives. He didn't say that. He said, consider it all joy, not for the trial, but while you're in the trial. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. He says, reframe your attitude toward your problems and see problems and testing and trials as God's quality control. That God can bring good out of this. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. And he says, let endurance or patience have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So he says, you change your attitude by looking at there are benefits to this particular trial. If you're faced with losing your job, you may think, where is God? Why doesn't God bail me out? If you're having problems in your marriage, you may have problems with your children. You may have maybe worrying about money, paying your bills. You may have problems with your health. And so worrying about it in such a way as to be sad, depressed, fearful, really doesn't help anything, does it? And so James is saying, change your attitude toward it. See the spiritual good that can come out of it. You know, you can't, just like you cannot sharpen a knife on a piece of velvet to any good effect, so we cannot grow stronger without overcoming trials, without overcoming some bad situation that forces me to say either I believe in God and He will help me or I don't. Now, which is it? And in the end, that's the most important question in life. Am I a true believer in God? Is my faith real? So, anything that drives me to trust in God more is good. God's purpose for my life is my character development and not necessarily my personal success. So he says, see, every problem is good if it draws you closer to God, develops your faith and your trust, and it builds your character. And then he says, we need to patiently rely on prayer for gaining wisdom in our trials. Verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, context is dealing with trials. That means wisdom to deal with these trials. Let him ask of God who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. God wants to help us. Cash the check of the promise of God that God will help us in our trials. But he must ask in faith without doubting. Well, God said he will, but I don't know if he will. He said he will, but I don't know if he will or not. He says, don't doubt. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. He's unstable. Verse 7, for that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. In other words, I shouldn't pray giving God a demand of how he ought to answer the prayer. And I think it's helpful, and I think it can be liberating from frustration when I realize that when I pray, God is not going to answer the prayer the way that I might personally desire it. I need to understand, even though I am significant, my agenda in life is not that significant to God in the overall scheme of things. I've got to understand that. Because if I don't, I'm going to pray for something and it'd be so easy and I don't see why God can't do this and why can't God can't help me out and do this, what I want him to do, and he doesn't. I need to realize that my agenda is not that important to God. God has higher purposes than my present desires. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about my desires. And in fact, God may bless us if he sees fit and we can glorify him in his greater will. He can do that. But the most important thing is to pray, God, help me deal with this trial that will glorify you. God, help me to deal with this trial so that I can overcome it and be a good example to other people. God, help me in dealing with my problems so I don't drift away from you. Anything that drives us to God in prayer is a good thing. Depression is anger turned inward that becomes hopelessness. And it's disappointment that festers, that things do not turn out the way that I want them to. And I need to reframe my perspective. It's not about me. It's about glorifying God in the trial. And God has promised to reward us in the end. James 5:13 says, if you're suffering, let him pray. Then, to develop this patience in hard circumstances, we need to patiently grow in love for God who rewards perseverance. You know, if we're suffering difficulties, we may become disappointed, resentful, and bitter about the way things are happening. It's not happening the way I'd like for it to. Why do other people have an easier life than I do? It seems so unfair. Well, the most important thing I need to learn to develop this patience is to grow in love for God, which should be greater than love for myself. Now read with me there in James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed or happy is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Why does God allow problems and suffering in our life? It is first to develop our faith. It is to prove our faith. It's to develop our character. And here he says it is to prove our love. Most important question in life is, what do I love the most? Do I love myself the most? Or do I love God the most? The people that are lost in hell love themselves the most. Those who are in heaven are those that love God the most and therefore are willing to believe and obey his will. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 is an encouraging passage. It says, may the Lord direct you into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Patience and love are developed. If I love God truly, I can be patient in my trials because I love God, because he's altogether lovely and I know that God is good. God has a good purpose for my life. God has good plans for us despite bad events. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Read that with me. We may think, oh, well, it's hard to be patient when you just feel so bad. James chapter 5 and verse 11. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. Job didn't think God was compassionate and merciful. In fact, he felt the very opposite. He thought God was some kind of bully. He was unfair and unjust in the midst of his suffering. But he learned better by hanging in there and not giving up. It's too soon to quit. The patience of Job, he learned that in the end, God is in control, and that we have to learn to trust Him. And to trust God is to demand nothing. Bart Ehrman wrote a book called God's Problem. Yes, according to Dr. Ehrman, God has a problem. That's pretty blasphemous to begin with. God's problem. What is God's problem? How God fails to answer our greatest question, why do we suffer? Well, the problem with liberal scholarship is you have a very presumptive attitude toward the Scriptures that if it doesn't present it in the way you want it to, it's not valid. And in fact, if you'll turn over there to the book of Job, God does answer the question of why do we suffer. And Job chapter 32 through 37 is really God's answer to why do we suffer. Job said in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Why is that? We don't have any other alternative. There is no other hope besides God himself. Elihu says in Job 33 and verse 17, why do we suffer? That he, God, may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. One reason God allows us to suffer is to humble us. Realize that I'm not as big and great and wonderful as I think that I am, and that I am limited and mortal, and therefore I must trust in and humble myself before God. He keeps him back, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. Verse 29 of chapter 33. Behold, God does all these oftentimes with men to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. But when we suffer, we understand that this world is not the be-all, end-all of our existence. And that in my quiet moments, I realize that there is a God, He is my Creator, and I am His creature, and that I exist for God, and God does not exist for me. A friend of mine, when he was in his 30s, had very serious ulcerative colitis, and it was very bad. I mean, he almost died from it. And he said the only thing that really helped him during this time, when he thought how hard it would be that he'd die and leave his two young sons, is reading the book of Job. I'd encourage you, if you're dealing with suffering in your life, one goal, instead of getting depressed about that, say, I'm going to become an expert in the book of Job. That gives you a goal. And it helps you to learn to cope with suffering, because we benefit from the perspective given in the book of Job. But in Job 42, verse 12, it says that God blessed the latter end of Job more than the earlier days of Job. God can be trusted because God is good. We need to patiently grow in love for God who rewards perseverance. I think I covered that. Let's see. There you go, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So God allows suffering to prove our love, which looks to the heavenly reward. When he says that God will give that crown of life to those who love him, Romans chapter 8, verse 25 says that we are saved in hope, and we with patience eagerly wait for it. God has promised a heavenly reward that will outweigh any kind of challenge or difficulty that we face in this life. You know that 99.999% of our existence is going to be spent on the other side of this life. In the overall scheme of things of our total existence, our life here is snap of the finger. And it is a place, not for my personal success and achievement, but it's a place for my personal moral development, that I might be fitted to live with God forever. And so in many ways, we have not yet truly begun to live, because eternal life is living with God, and that is the life which is to come. And God, we can trust God that God can make up any difficulty or any loss we suffer in this life. So the power of patience in hard circumstances comes from learning to wait on the Lord. Be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Well, patience also forbears with difficult people. James chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And do not complain, brethren. James 5, 9. The word there, complain, in the original, means to groan. To groan against brethren. Apparently, you know, when things are difficult, we tend to get on each other's nerves. And he says, don't groan. Don't go, oh, I can't stand them, or they drive me crazy, or what's their problem? I want to pull my hair out, or whatever, however you want to groan. He says, don't do it. Weak, fallible, limited human beings don't always act like they ought to. James chapter 3, verse 14, he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. He says, the wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is discord and every evil thing. So, that's not going to work. Patience realizes God holds us accountable how we respond to others. He says, do not complain, brethren, against one another. He says, the Lord is at the door. Judge is standing at the door. Meaning, if that's the destruction of Jerusalem, the idea that God judges, man, he holds us accountable. In James chapter 4 and verse 11, this will help us be patient with brethren. James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother, it's the idea of condemning, criticizing, that's unfair, speaks against the law. That's the law of love. And judges the law. That is, I don't have to do that. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. That is, I sit in evaluation of it, and I'm an exception, and I don't have to do that. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge, that is, condemn your neighbor? The idea of being careful of how we criticize one another, he says, don't do that. You got to be very careful. Now, he's not saying overlook sin in someone's life. But 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, be patient with all men. So God wants us, we need to realize when I deal with someone else, even if they're being a jerk or whatever they may be doing, God still holds me accountable how I respond to that. So I am accountable to God. And then patience with others comes from humility before God. James chapter 4, verse 1, they were having problems with one another, and he says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? In other words, they had problems with one another because they were immature and selfish. Anytime you have any major conflict, someone in that relationship or both are not acting like a Christian. So what's the solution in the context? Well, you need patience with one another that comes from humility before God. Verse 6. God gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud. Proud is, I want my way. I don't want to admit I'm wrong about anything. But gives grace to the humble. Humble as I submit to God. Submit, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning. And your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So if we have that attitude, don't you think that we can patiently deal with one another? I think that's the point that he's making here. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5 talks about that when we submit to God, God gives us patience. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Now may the God who gives patience and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. If it weren't for the patience of God, heaven would be empty of sinners. It's only by the patience of God that God is willing to forgive others. If God is willing to be patient with me, therefore God wants me to learn to be patient with you and you to be patient with me, be patient with each other. So patience comes from humility. A lack of patience is a lack of humility before God. Patience learns wisdom in dealing peacefully with others. I want to be a person who facilitates a positive dynamic in interacting with people. And we have to have patience in dealing with people. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. To deal peacefully with others, you have to have this patience. You know, it's interesting how God's wisdom works. I always think when you talk to, like, you call a company, you talk to a really good service representative, how they're kind and understanding and helpful and patient. I always think those are all values that the New Testament teaches. Just imagine you call a customer service representative and they say, yeah, hey, what's your problem? Can't you read the label? You know, and they're rude and brusque with you. You would say, this is not very good. You know, it's going to cause conflict. Well, we see that God's wisdom actually works. And I need to ask myself, if I had to interact with me, what would that interaction be like? So when I'm dealing with other people, I want to be the kind of person that it makes it easy to deal with. That's what the idea is here, that reasonable means easily persuaded. So I need to, when I'm interacting with someone who's difficult to deal with, I need to ask myself, am I inculcating these qualities of being pure, that is, without mixed motives? Being peaceable, I want harmony. I'm gentle. I'm sensitive to your feelings. You know, someone said that patience is putting up with somebody when you feel like putting them down. Patience is letting your emotional engine idle when you feel like stripping the gear. He says it's reasonable, full of mercy. That's the idea of cutting somebody some slack. It's unwavering. That is, it's solid, dependable, without hypocrisy. I'm not just putting on a front. I'm genuine. And all of this is going to bring about better relationships with one another. Patience draws strength from Scripture to be long-suffering. James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. When we're dealing with difficult people, he says, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endure. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that through the patience of the Scriptures we might have hope. You know, Jeremiah, when you read the Bible, for example, like Jeremiah, for preaching the truth, what did they do to Jeremiah? Well, they want to kill him. They put him down in a cistern or in a pit. I know one preacher's wife told her husband, he said, well, at least they hadn't, you know, tried to kill you yet. Now, I've had somebody hit me one time. Yeah. I was out in the vestibule, and the 49ers lost to the Cowboys in the playoffs, and this young boy, teenager, I said, oh, how'd your team do? He was a 49ers fan. Well, they got beat. He hit me in the stomach. This guy has anger management problems, okay? Okay, so that's the worst thing, I guess, that's ever happened. I've been physically hit one time. Well, I got over it. You know, it wasn't a big deal, even though I'm telling you about it now. But just think about those prophets, what they had to go through. Stephen was stoned. And so if I have to suffer a little bit in dealing with difficult situations or difficult people, I draw strength from the Scriptures. That I can persevere with God's help. There was a sister who had surgery, and I went into to see her, and the surgery was botched. And then the procedure to fix the botched surgery, it was botched. And then the hospital administration, it was just a series of blunders. And I mean, this sister, I mean, she almost died because of these medical mistakes. And I walked into her room right as the nurse was changing the dressing on an incision. And really, it was a gaping wound in her side. And she had a friend there with her. And as I walked into the room, this sister looked at that gaping wound in her side and she said, "You know, Jesus had his side pierced for me." She wasn't thinking about herself. That caused her to think about the Scriptures. The Scriptures is an inexhaustible resource of encouragement to give us patience. It is our safety rope. I would encourage you to be an expert. Whatever your situation is, become an expert in that particular chapter or book that deals with your difficult situation, and it will give you patience to persevere. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We read to know we are not alone. So James shows us that patience is the power to persevere in God's strength. In patience, you shall gain your souls. Patience is a heavenly shock absorber in dealing with difficult people. Patience is learning to let our emotional motor idle when we feel like stripping the gears. James shows us we conquer by continuing. Patience is the power to persevere in God's strength. Be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near.